January 25th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha's new podcast series where we are acting locally, thinking globally, while talking all things Waukesha and beyond. This week, we inaugurated a new president. That's, I guess you could say, it's old news. Locally, last night, the North Stars of Waukesha North, riding on the high of their 50th anniversary celebrations, defeated the Black Shirts of Waukesha South 66-65 at the South Field House last night, avenging a crushing 20-point loss to the Shirts at their house earlier in the season. So congrats to the North Stars. Congrats to both teams on a pretty exciting game. That much is for sure. The Winter Jamboree continues in the Shaw. And I'm proud to say that one of the great places to be in Wisconsin in the winter in January or anywhere in the world, unless you're into ice fishing or snowmobiling, that's further north. But here in our beloved Waukesha, where we have this fantastic Winter Jamboree celebration. But for my on this first podcast today, I am proud to have as my guest the newly engaged Alicia Halbin-Slabin. Congrats to you and Kevin. Alicia is our 11th district alder since 2022, and she's running for the second term. And she's been kind to connect with us while traveling. Where are you heading to, Alicia, today, if I may ask?
Well, we kind of have a full weekend ahead of us, so we're going up to Green Bay to get tattoos, actually, for some people who are no longer with us, so that we can have them with us at the wedding this fall.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then we have a wedding show in Oshkosh tomorrow. So.
Wow, okay. So a weekend just for the two of you.
Yep, pretty much. Terrific.
So yeah, let's jump right into this. As you continue to engage in your campaign for re-election, what are the major accomplishments from your first term that you'll be talking about that you want constituents and just residents of Waukesha to know about?
Sure. One of the biggest things that I have helped to contribute to is the Waukesha Parade Memorials. So I served on the Parade Memorial Commission as the representative from being the downtown alderperson.
Nice.
And we really spent a lot of time taking in community input, working with the different people, like the different contractors and the different designs, and really coming up with something that we thought would really work well with the community. And I really liked the idea that we had something small right on Main Street, but then something off of Main Street where people could maybe spend more time being reflective where there isn't constant traffic going by. So I think that we did a really good job. I think both memorials are absolutely beautiful, and I think that people are going to appreciate them for a long time. So that's probably one of my biggest accomplishments. I'm also very proud to serve currently as the Common Council President.
It
says a lot. My fellow alders have that faith in me. And also, I'm currently the Vice President of the Library Board of Trustees, which I serve on as the Alderman Representative. But yeah, I really, really enjoy my time with the Library Trustees. They do a really great job, and we actually have something fun coming up where we will be going to Madison to lobby our legislators to support good library policies.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of hot button issues around. That could be a separate show. So to be continued.
Keep your
Saturday calendar open for a future show, because that is certainly very, very important, protecting our libraries and supporting them. So what else would you say is the city done with your support that you are proudest of in your first tour of duty?
The parade memorial is definitely the big one. But I think some of the other things, there's been a lot of concerns about rodents. And we have seen a decrease in complaints since we've instituted some new ordinances and beefed up some of our ordinances. So that includes the ordinance regarding chickens and other fowl, limiting the numbers of chickens that you can have, and basically not allowing for larger fowl, and not allowing, butchering at home and things like that. Those are types of things that can really attract rodents and cause more problems. And they don't understand where one yard ends and the next one begins. So yeah, they do travel. So we want to make sure that yards are clean and free of waste. That ordinance, I think, has helped out a lot. The other thing is we also beefed up the rat harborage ordinance so that we can better address rat harborages on private property, because that's kind of, you got to find the right balance, right? We can't just come in and tell you what you need to do in your yard, but we also want to make sure that we're all being good neighbors.
Yes. Yeah, because I my understanding too is that from some of the other elders I spoke with is that some residents will have these, and I believe we used to, we'll have these bird feeders that only hang like, you know, about a foot to 3 feet above ground. And that certainly is a great source for attracting rats. Is that true? And is there ways to, or has that been part of some of the new legislative revisions to address the rodent problem?
Yeah. So bird seed on the ground definitely is a problem. There really isn't a good way to prevent that. I mean, we know birds are messy eaters. I would say if you do want to have a bird feeder, I would not recommend having 10 bird feeders. Limit the bird feeders. Unfortunately, it's not like you can take a vacuum out into your yard and try to mow them up or suck them up through a vacuum.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of get stuck. But I would say limiting the number of bird feeders, maybe don't fill them as often, those sorts of things. But yeah, the bird feeders definitely do attract rats. In fact, that's when we see complaints and we send out an inspector, we often see bird feeders nearby.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. Hey, I want to jump over to what I like to call the big elephant in the city of Waukesha living room. And that's the city's financial situation. How do you address concerns from the residents about our financial health and maybe what are some of the myths and what are some of the truths and you know, what is the city doing to drive that or to, you know, address that?
So I think that we have done a really great job. And I want to give a huge plug here for our city administrator. Tony Brown. Yeah, there you go. he does such a really great job being creative and trying to come up with good solutions so we don't have to cut services while still kind of suffering from, you know, different state regulations that prevent us from raising taxes, which no one wants to raise taxes, of course, but we also have to be realistic about the costs of all of the services that we provide and making sure that we can keep our community fun and happy and a place where people really want to be. And beyond that, we've done a lot of studies and really looked into different options for, you know, like efficiency stuff. So having each department head go through their department and try to identify some inefficiencies or places where they could do a little bit better, maybe, you know, sharpen the pencil. So we've actually done a really good job with that, consolidating some of the things where one department is using one platform for something and another department is using a different platform and trying to consolidate that down, moving some more things in-house rather than contracting out. Or in some of the other cases, contracting out where it's not necessarily the most efficient use of our time to have an expert for one little thing, where it's actually more efficient for us to have an expert that we contract in. So really kind of taking a look at all of those things so that we are reducing our costs as much as possible without putting an additional burden on our residents.
Understood. Besides our financial health, what would you say, Alicia, are the biggest issues the city is facing now and in the next few years? Biggest challenges, biggest opportunities?
I mean, that's definitely up there. That's probably the main focus. But But I think kind of going along with that, I mentioned a little bit, I love Waukesha. I chose Waukesha. So I did not grow up in Waukesha.
You're
I chose Waukesha.
Like myself.
Yeah. And I chose Waukesha because I truly fell in love with our community. You know, I like that we do the Jamboree and that we do Tribute Tuesday and all of these really great fun events. But, you know, one of those opportunities, right, is being able to keep those things, but we can really only do that if we can keep the budget in line. And so that's where, you know, we got to think right now we're fine. We're good. We're solvent. We're going to be good next year, but thinking down the line, especially thinking about costs increasing constantly, and then having those levy limits imposed by the state and then not getting the shared revenue in ways that are favorable, I guess. So we did get some help. We got some assistance, which is great. But there's definitely room to improve there. So I guess I would hope that we can work with our state legislators to come up with a better long-term solution. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind, because we have so many great opportunities to keep our community happy and healthy and a place where people want to live. And kind of the other part of that is net new construction. So this is one of those things where we have a challenge, but also an opportunity. So the challenge is that we are landlocked. So we don't have, we have almost no untouched land, right? So in terms of development, it's a little bit more difficult, but not impossible. There are a lot of different tools that we can use for redevelopment. And I think one of the best examples that people are probably pretty familiar with right now is the new Cobblestone Hotel. They've just resumed their demolition there downtown, which is not far from the Civic Media Studio. And I can hear it. I can hear the demolition from my house, but they seem to be really, moving forward with that, doing a great job. Yeah. But that's
real
something.
Quick, since you mentioned Civic Media, I forgot to introduce our producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who does a fantastic job. He did a great job with our radio show and is doing some great things with the podcast. So Max, accept my apologies and really happy you're here. So I'm sorry, Alicia, continue.
Yeah. So, one of the things that we need to kind of think about is getting creative with where we might find redevelopment opportunities, since development, new development is very unlikely to happen. So thinking about, okay, here's a space where this, it's an underutilized space. There's something more we could do here. And I think that's where we're starting to, again, think more creatively about what we can do to bring in more tax revenue, again, without trying to raise taxes for our residents.
Yeah. You know, that gives, you mentioned development. We are the hometown of Wisconsin's oldest university, that's Carroll University. And you talk about growth and expansion. They are building a new $100 million business school, thanks to Carroll alumnus, Tim Sullivan, who's put in $10 million of his own money. Do you see opportunities there, some town gown partnerships where there could be some economic development benefits in certain, like I said, partnerships with the university as they continue to grow and expand?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that we have, a university right here doing a great job expanding and really doing wonderful things with their students and providing those sorts of opportunities with local businesses. I think that we actually already do a fantastic job. And I shouldn't say we, I should say Carroll does a really great job at partnering with area businesses so that we have students who then graduate, they have experiences with these local businesses, and they're more likely to stay in the community. Because that's what we want. We want great citizens that are going to be, a great addition to our community. And a Carroll grad is a wonderful addition to any community, but hopefully ours.
Yeah, no doubt. Is there currently, I just thought of this, and I will admit, I never thought of it during my time on the council. Is there a committee, an ad hoc committee of sorts with Carroll and the city that could be talking about new, opportunities for growth through partnership?
There isn't necessarily a committee, but I think that, there is a lot of good collaboration. There's not a committee, but that doesn't mean that there couldn't be. That might be something to explore further.
Sure. Yeah. And then closer to downtown in your district, we've seen some good growth, some new restaurants coming in. I believe some other new businesses. Do you know what the current, if there is a vacancy rate in downtown Waukesha currently, and if, and what the city's kind of doing in partnership with realtors and other business development interests to fill some of those vacancies or add new, I guess economic development opportunities for downtown?
So I don't know the vacancy rate. The thing about downtown, and like the buildings downtown, I should say, is that they are at least owned. So while they might not all be full all the time, they do have owners. And so with the city, we do want to work with the owners of buildings. We have a number of different grant programs and things to help improve businesses and actual buildings and making sure that they are up to date, making sure that, fire safety codes are met and things like that. So we do have those opportunities through the city. But I would also assume that the owners of various buildings downtown would rather have tenants than not have tenants. And so I'm sure they are always looking. As we see more and more development downtown, it's only going to continue to attract more people, I think.
Terrific. Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me. And again, I know I'm asking a lot of specific questions. So some of these are, I was driving to an appointment on Thursday and I drove past City Hall. Saw the mayor pass me in a red pickup, and so that's a rather interesting fit for a mayor whose profession was an attorney. I think he's trying to pass himself off as a building construction guy or a handyman. Only kidding, of course, but give him a hard time for me. But I noticed a big like for sale sign on the old Gendusa property across from City Hall, and I know that the city had purchased that property years before you and I were involved in. We haven't had a lot of success in filling that. Do you know of any developments on that specific property?
Are you talking about like directly across from City Hall?
Yep.
Yeah. So there is a proposed development for some apartments. And that's, as far as I know, that's still proceeding through. Nothing is completed yet. And so that's, it's not necessarily a definite, but that is the proposed project for that property.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, yeah, we look forward to paying attention to that. That's one we've been trying to get off the city tax rolls for quite a few years. And I applaud the city for taking the initiative to buying and promoting, some good development. But I know we've also had our struggles during that time, but appreciate you updating us on that. So in the time we have, which I believe is about 2.5 minutes, Max, correct me if I'm wrong. What would you like to say to listeners that we haven't covered already about Alder Alicia Halbin-Slabin? Here's a question I have is, you, in a very nonpartisan role and in a very nonpartisan political tradition, you are obviously and unapologetically very entrenched with the Democratic Party. You're vice chair of the Women's Caucus. I believe you're secretary of the state's Young Democrats. And if your LinkedIn profile is up to date, you're also, you serve as something for the congressional district too, for the Democrats.
Yeah. Chair of the 5th Congressional District.
How do you manage that balance? Because I imagine in a city that's still, fairly red, that you probably still, get some resistance from voters and residents about that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when it comes to being an alder person, I don't really get any resistance, right? My job is nonpartisan. There aren't really a whole lot of partisan issues that we're deciding on, or at least not things that I would consider to be partisan issues.
Sure. Yes.
So really, I'm able to really kind of keep those things pretty well siloed. So when I am doing stuff with the Democratic Party, I'm doing stuff with the Democratic Party. When I am doing stuff for the city, I'm doing stuff for the city. And those two things don't really overlap very much. So, which I think is good, because we should be, thinking of ourselves as nonpartisan when we're dealing with the city. I'm happy to help any resident, any constituent within the district, whether they're a Democrat, Republican, moderate, Green Party, Libertarian, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is making sure that we're helping the citizens of our community.
I love it. 11th District Alder Alicia Halbin-Slabin, thanks for being my guest this morning. Safe travels on the rest of this exciting journey, and congrats on your pending nuptials to you and Kevin. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. And thanks to everyone for listening in on this first of two podcasts. Bo Blask is next. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and see ya!